I want you to get your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Once you arrive there, I want you to find verse number 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, find verse number 8. Then, if you would, stand with me out of reverence for the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 8. Let me say while you're standing, my sermon today is what I call a preventative maintenance type of a sermon. I'm not trying to fix a problem. I've always believed the best time to fix a problem is before it occurs. And so this is a preventive maintenance sermon. I call it this: since history repeats itself. Since history repeats itself. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, look at verse number 8. The Bible says this: all things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. Were you hearing those words? The thing which hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. God is saying in His own way, history repeats itself. Let me pray and we'll get started. Father, bless now. Give me the attention of the people. I realize, Father, that the humidity's a little high, but God, may we on purpose keep our minds alert. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, You will keep somebody from a tragic occurrence in their life because of today's sermon. Now bless us with Thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. History repeats itself, seemingly. I think spiritual history repeats itself, but I think we could also say that in what we would call secular history, there's a lot of repetitiveness. Many of you will remember the fact that Abraham Lincoln was one of our presidents, and he was assassinated and shot in the head, and many, many years later, we watched John F. Kennedy assassinated and shot in the head. And you talk about the conspiracies behind those two. But a bit of a repetition, the repeating of something. Some wouldn't realize it, that a government called the Ottoman government slaughtered 2/3 of the Armenian people at one time in history. And not but 20 or 30 years later, Hitler slaughtered 2/3 of the Jewish population. And we virtually worldwide watched history repeat itself. If I mentioned to you the name Titanic, you'd all immediately know who that is and what that was. But there was a ship. It was a Chinese ship called the Teksing, T-E-K-S-I-N-G. It sunk in 1822. 70% of the passengers drowned to death. Then, in 1912, the Titanic sunk. 70% of the passengers drowned to death, both because they felt there were faulty construction of the ship. Socialism has destroyed many countries. It will repeat itself. I promise. If you were listening, we read from Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Let me read a verse to you and point it out to you. It says, "The thing that hath been done, it is that which shall be." That thing which is done is that which shall be done. What is that? It's saying history repeats itself. In verse number 10, it says this: "Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it hath been already of old time, which was before us?" It's saying this happened, but it's not new. This has happened before. If you all listen to me for a second, I would like to make a challenge to you personally. How long is it going to be before you do the same stupid thing again? Tell me your weakness. It was probably your weakness last year too. Because history repeats itself, and the human race doesn't seem to be real smart in regard to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13 says this: "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Common to man. Oh, I think one of the greatest passages of Scripture that teaches us this is Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11. That's the verse where it talks about the dog returning to his vomit. The human race has a tendency to behave like the dog. We can do something dumb, and then we can turn around and go right back to that dumb thing. Throughout history, Satan's temptation for man has not changed a whole lot. Satan may decorate temptation in a different color, but it's got the same internal parts. Its intent is to mess you up and to destroy your life. The things that have destroyed Christians in years gone by are the same things that destroy Christians today. The things that cause men to fall in the past are the same things that cause men to fall today. History repeats itself. Oh, but wait a minute. Doesn't have to. We just let it. Whatever happened to Christians across America in the past will probably happen to Christians across America today if Christians don't wake up and learn from the past. The big question is, are you going to let history repeat itself for you? Will you be the one that falls or gets destroyed like others have? And so, you know, nobody's immune to this. Someone here will fail, and you will fail to learn from my history or your history, or you'll fail to learn from somebody's history, and you will fail like they did. Hey, will you be the next one that produces a Judas-like behavior? Will you be the next one that produces a Jezebel-type behavior? Or would you be the one that will reproduce a Moses-like behavior? Or behavior of a Paul? But let me tell you, history seems to repeat itself. Now the sermon gets simpler, as if it could, but it will. For instance, since history repeats itself, are you going to be the next one to cheat on your mate? Somebody's going to. You'd think, after you've seen enough of the heartache that comes by that behavior, that we'd wake up and say, I'm not going to do that. But it's amazing. Let's not destroy that which is holy. Let's not let the devil get into our marriage and get into our head. Let's not let that happen. But I will promise you, history repeats itself. And since history repeats itself, you better stop and ask yourself this question. Are you heading down a path that's going to mess up your marriage? Men, you keep your eyes on your wife, and ladies, you keep your emotions on your husband, and if you'll do that, you stand a far better chance of not destroying your marriage. But I'm sad to say it, and just so you know, I'm here on behalf of the Lord, and I'm here on behalf of people that I love, and I thank God for marriages, and I thank God for the wholesomeness of marriage, but I just want to warn y'all, somebody is going to mess up their marriage. And is history going to repeat itself through you? You let it ring in your mind if you go out and booger up your marriage. You let it ring in your mind that your pastor stood before you and told you that'll break your heart, it'll hurt you, it'll destroy you, it'll mess up your family. It's a bad testimony for the church. Don't do it! It's bad! But you know what? You'll forget what I just said in a matter of weeks or months, and somebody will go out and let history repeat itself. Maybe you're already starting down that path. Let me explain something to you. That you entertain emotionally sooner or later will come out of you, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And might I say, out of the abundance of the heart, the body behaves. So since history repeats itself, are you going to be the next one to commit adultery on your mate? Hey. Number two, since history repeats itself, are you going to be the next one who starts a fight with somebody in your church and disrupts the unity? Now, I thank God. Our church is a unified church. You walk into our church and we're happy. This isn't a church where there's a bunch of fussing and fighting. And to my knowledge, nobody in this church has a bad attitude against the Lord or against anybody else. But since history repeats itself, are you the next one that will start a fuss or a fight in your local church? I don't know how long you've been around, but this happens. Now you say, are you trying to fix something? No, nothing broken. But again, the best time to fix is it before it happens. The Bible over and over and over again teaches us that we are to be unified in Christ Jesus. Well, that doesn't mean we're going to attach ourselves to every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there that calls himself religious. We're not like that at all. There are separation issues, but within the local church, there is to be a unity. There is to be a love, a goodness, and a kindness that we have toward each other. But I happen to know that, and look, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but everybody here that's been around an old-fashioned church for long, you know every once in a while there's some party or two parties that get contrary and they start a war in the church and everybody's on edge and nobody knows how to behave toward the whole thing because two Christians that are supposed to love each other are now at odds with each other and they're damaging the spirit of the revival and it can get nasty. But since history repeats itself, are you the one that will start that? Are you the one that will participate in that? And let me tell you this. Let me tell you what happens when church members get nasty and get hateful with each other. It causes the outside world not to want to come and be a part of that church. Look, out in the world, if they want to act like a bunch of alley cats and animals and fuss and fight and be mean and nasty and hateful with each other, you would expect that because they're lost and on their way to hell. But in the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ, there is to be a love, a kindness, and a goodness, and people ought to be able to escape the world and come to the church, and it ought to be a haven where they come in, they're at ease, and they know there's going to be a good atmosphere. Let me tell you something. You mess with the unity of the New Testament church, you may be biting off more than you can chew because it's a dangerous thing to do. Will you hurt the church's unity? Will you replace the kindness with curtness? I know. When it happens, it will be the other guy's fault, won't it? Because it always is. You take two people fussing and fighting in the church, I can go and say, what's wrong? They say, well, it's the other guy. So I go see the other guy. The other guy says, you know what it is? It's the other guy. Nobody takes responsibility, but I'll tell you one who is glorified in the whole mess. It's the devil. He said, I got them both believing it's the other guy, and I'm going to mess up the unity in that church, and I got them both. They're not guilty. They're not guilty. They're not guilty. They're not guilty. And the devil said, they're both guilty, and I convinced them to mess up the attitude in the church. But since history repeats itself, will that be you? Will you be the one? Hey, since history repeats itself, are you the next one that will become bitter and destructive in your Christian life? Bitter and destructive. Now, someone will. Sad thing, but Christians become bitter and destructive in their attitudes. You know, can I tell you something about bitterness? So many times people get bitter, and they're bitter because maybe someone has hurt them. I have to make sure you understand this. If you get bitter, and your whole intent is, I'm going to be bitter, because I'm bitter, I'm going to hurt the object of my bitterness, you have no assurance that that's going to happen at all. You could be as bitter as you want at someone. That does not mean you're going to cripple them, hurt them, or slow them down. There is only one person you are for sure to hurt if you are bitter, and that is you. Bitterness is a self-destructive behavior. But I will promise you, I've watched good Christians get bitter in the past, which means this. Since history repeats itself, there's probably somebody under the sound of my voice, something's going to come upon you. Somebody's not going to treat you right. You're going to end up bitter. Bitter. But you're going to hurt you. Hey, you'll probably hurt your mate and probably hurt some church member or some family member. But you cannot be guaranteed you're going to hurt the object of your bitterness. Hey, be careful. Bitterness and jealousy are a lot alike. You watch somebody in the church, they get an opportunity, a position, they get to do something that you want to do, and before long you're bitter with them or you're jealous about them. That green-eyed monster of jealousy will drag you down and tear you to shreds. It'll ruin your attitude and ruin your spirit. If I were you, I'd keep yourself humble. Always keep this attitude. You're not in hell, so it's a pretty good situation that you're in. Hey, but since history repeats itself, are you the next one to be bitter? Are you the next one to harbor that bitterness? There's probably somebody in here right now. You've let bitterness kind of overtake you. And here's what you say. Well, I wouldn't be bitter if it were not for him. I wouldn't be bitter if it were not for her. I'm very sorry to burst your ever-loving bubble. But you're not bitter because of somebody else. You're bitter because of you. Nobody makes you bitter. You let yourself become bitter. And then you justify it because of somebody else's actions. So, since history repeats itself, maybe you'll be the next one to commit adultery. Since history repeats itself, maybe you're the next one that will start a fuss with somebody in the church and destroy that unity. Maybe you'll become bitter and destructive with your life. Hey, since history repeats itself, maybe you're the next one that'll drop out of church. I've been preaching for a long time. People come and go. History repeats itself. Are you the next one that will phase yourself out of church attendance? For some of you, you used to come to church Sunday night. You used to come to church Wednesday night. You used to come to Sunday school. You used to come to Sunday morning church. But you're phasing out. I watch it happen all the time. I watch people phase themselves away from God. There are people, under the sound of my voice, you are phasing out. Will you be the next one to phase out? I got to tell you, I don't get my spiritual energy based on your faithfulness. I get my spiritual energy based on His faithfulness because I learned a long time ago, God won't let me down. He'll be faithful to the end. But if I got to depend on you to be happy, that ain't working. I'm just warning you. Hey, since history repeats itself, would you all agree people phase themselves out and phase themselves away from the church and phase themselves away from God? Does it happen? Okay, is it happening to you? Here's how we figured out. Were you ever more faithful to church than you are now? Well, if you say, used to is phasing out. And history is repeating itself through your unfaithfulness. Now, I know, I think there's some people in here, and in a little while, I'm going to flip this thing around real quick at the end of the sermon. But there are people in here, you're in church more than you've ever been in your life. You know what? You're heading the right direction. You're heading the right direction. But since history repeats itself, will you be the next one that becomes unfaithful? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. That means we need the church. Hey, let me go on. Since history repeats itself, will you be the next one that changes your belief in the importance of the souls of men and soul winning? Since history repeats itself, will you be the one that changes your belief about the souls of men, the importance of the souls of men and soul winning? The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Jesus said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be full. Folks, people are going to die someday and either go to heaven or hell. That's the real deal. That's God's plan. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, let me tell you something. I've watched people that were convinced that keeping people out of hell and soul winning and the salvation of mankind was very big and very important. And then I have watched them phase that belief out of their life. In their behavior, in their attitude, where they go to church. So, since history repeats itself, are you going to be the fulfillment of the repeating of the history of the people that give up on the souls of men? You say, Pastor, you talk about that a lot. I know. It's got to be kept at the top of the totem pole of importance, because if there is a heaven and there is a hell and Jesus died so people didn't have to go to hell, I guess we better keep on talking about heaven and hell and trying to keep people out of hell. Nothing's changed about it. The Bible's not changed. But you used to think it was important to witness. You remember that? You remember when you used to give out the gospel tract? Do you remember when you used to try to win people to Christ? Has history repeated itself in you? Are you in the process of letting history repeat itself, where you're about to retract yourself from the importance of the souls of men? Hey, listen. History does repeat itself. You know, I don't think the devil has any real new tricks. He just keeps hitting us with the same old thing. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we would brighten up a little bit and give the devil a bit of a challenge? Amen. You say, Pastor, some of these things are so basic and simple. I know. So basic and simple, it ought to be embarrassing for the Christians to have to be told again, don't do that. But you know, the very same things we've been told not to do, it just lets somebody lose track for a moment. They go do it. And the devil says, same old, same old. Sure. And since history repeats itself, listen carefully. Since history repeats itself, will you be the next young person? Will you be the next young lady pregnant out of wedlock? Listen. Pay attention. Will you be the next young lady pregnant out of wedlock? And just so you all understand, the Bible's pretty clear. You're not to fornicate. You're not to have a physical relationship with somebody that you're not married to. That's in the Bible still. It doesn't matter what society says. It's still in there. Mrs. Owens and I this morning were rejoicing. We've been in the ministry for a long time. We know one, maybe two young people over the last 20 years under our ministry that ended up pregnant out of wedlock. Let me explain something. 20 to 25 years of ministry, too, that's a pretty good record. But it comes because I've always stood up and I've always thrown a fit about it. And I've reminded people that fornication is wrong. I've reminded people you shouldn't be sleeping with somebody that you're not married to. And it will hurt you and it will hurt your life. It'll hurt your mom. It'll hurt your dad. It'll hurt the other people around you. And I'm just going to warn you, history repeats itself, but is it going to repeat itself with you? Are you going to be the one that steps over that line? Are you going to be the one that ends up pregnant out of wedlock? You, young man, are you going to cause a girl to get pregnant? And are you going to do that before you get married? And if that happens to you, it's going to break your heart. You're going to be sorry that it happened. I'm just asking you. Is history going to repeat itself with you? And let me tell you again, like I said, the last 20 to 25 years, we know of one for sure, maybe two. And I am very glad that God has given us that kind of watch, care, and protection. But you can go to churches all over the place. They'll tell you that it happens 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 times a year in their church. But will you be the next? Because history repeats itself. And this is what they say. It won't happen to me. I'm careful. You cocky, arrogant, backslidden Christian. You thumb your nose at the devil. He'll prove to you how powerful he is. And I'll remind you of this. You're in my church and you make a mistake and you need help, I'll help you. I'll love you. We won't throw you under the bus, but you'd be far better off never making that mistake in the first place. You make that mistake, you'll be treated with love and dignity. We'll help you get through it, because anybody can fall into sin, and nobody is here trying to be arrogant and look down at you. We're all looking at the reality that history repeats itself, and the devil has been taking purity away from young men and young ladies for a long time, and he's not changed his tactics. History repeats itself. Is it going to repeat itself with you? Since history repeats itself, will you someday find yourself attacking your church? Someone will. I don't know if any church has ever lived his full life without being attacked by somebody. You say, somebody who? Somebody that used to be in the church. Ever watch people get bitter and get nasty toward a church? You can work as hard as you want, but it'll happen. Now, I tell you this. I've been the pastor of Twin Rivers Baptist Church for 5 years, and what a peaceful, what a revival we've had. Not a moment. We've not had anybody leave our church and be nasty or hateful. Amen. And I don't want it. And like I told you, I'm not fixing the problem. If there's somebody that's about to attack my church right now, I have no earthly idea about it because I'm as happy as I could be, and our church is a church of unity and bliss and revival. But I'm not stupid enough to think that the devil's not out there thinking somebody needs to do something about slowing that church down. I'll reach into the congregation. I'll find somebody that's stupid enough to follow me. I'll get them angry about something, and I'll try to stymie that revival. Will it be you? Because if history repeats itself, which it does, somebody will get a step up to bat someday. That's just reality. You get your feelings hurt. And so you turn the tool of Facebook into a weapon. And I have pastors tell me it happens all the time. Somebody will get contrary. They'll take Facebook, which could be used in a very positive way, and turn it into a tool of war. And that's sad. Preachers call me weeping. So I had somebody get contrary in my church. Next thing you know, they were friends with all the people in the church, and they're just lambasting and hatred and pulling people away. I told him, I said, I don't know much about that. I'm not a Facebook person. Nobody's ever influenced me negatively with Facebook. And I told him, if I had a Facebook account, somebody was attacking my church, I'd shut them off, or whatever you do, eliminate a friend, spray. What's it called? Unfriend? You unfriend them? I'd unfriend them so quick their computer would spin. But I don't have that problem, and we don't have that problem. But if history repeats itself, we probably will, and you may be the one that does it. But you say, preacher, will you be shocked? I'm not shocked at anything anymore. Hey, listen. Since history repeats itself, will you be the next one that will destroy yourself because of your arrogant pride? The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And since history repeats itself, how many times have we watched someone fall because of their pride? Maybe your pride, maybe you work in a ministry around here and you feel like you ought to be in charge of it. Instead of the person that is. And your pride will destroy you if you're not careful. Maybe you're in the choir. Brother Edwards is the director. And you say, well, I think I could run the choir better than Brother Edwards. You probably couldn't. But even if you could, it's not your job. Oh, but people get like that. They get like that. There are probably people in here right now. I don't know who you are. You probably think you can run the church better than I can. I'll tell you this right now. You probably could. But it's not your church. Nah, 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 nah. You say I'm smarter than you. You probably are. You say I'm better looking than you. Probably not. You say I'm more humble than you. I'm sure you're not. Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, and let me tell you something. Anybody here that is a leader, you might want to keep your pride in check. You get the idea you should be in charge. Be careful. Your strength is not only demonstrated in leadership. Your strength is demonstrated in your fellowship. Dr. Lee Robertson said everything rises and falls on leadership. Yet another said, everything rises and falls on fellowship. I say, I can't even really tell the difference. Jesus Christ was the epitome of leadership, which was perfect fellowship. If you're a real leader, you can do both. Well, I'm just so strong, I can't hardly follow. You're a knucklehead, that's what you are. And you're full of pride. Hey, since history repeats itself, and listen, hear me out before you get mad at me. Since history repeats itself, will you let your health troubles take you out of church? Let me show you something. The devil's very good at this. People get sincere health problems that must be attended to. Sometimes they can't come to church because of it. Surely. They can't come. They can't be a part. They're taken out for a while. But you know what? Before long, they could come to church, but they have a way out. They're better. But they don't come to church. And all they have to do is say, I'm not well. Now, if you're lying, you got a problem with God, don't you? Now, would any of you guess that's ever happened before? You were not well 3 years ago. You're still using that same excuse, and the doctor told you you were fine ever since. But nobody knows. Now, and by the way, I'm your friend. And I'm not saying anything that's not true. Like I said, sincere health issues, they happen. They pull us out of church, or sometimes there are things that keep you from coming. But you know what you ought to do? You ought to be in church every time you can. Has history already repeated itself with you? Hey, if you say, I think there's an illness on the horizon. Maybe you're waiting on a test from the doctor right now. Let me warn you about what to do. If a negative report comes to you, determine that you'll do your best to stay faithful to God. And remember what your preacher's telling you today. Some of the finest Christians that I've met in my life, the devil could not convince them to go get drunk, get high, or commit adultery. They got sick, phased themselves away from church, and never got back to where they needed to be because of it. Now, let me compliment. I'm not going to mention names, but we've got some champions in regard to this in our church. We've got people that have been tore up physically. They've been through all sorts of things, cancers, diseases. But you know what? They get knocked down. They get back up. They get back in church. And some of you would never know they'd ever been sick. Then you got others. They can stub their toe and they'll be gone from church for 4 months. You say, well, if I go to church up the road, they won't say things like this. You also find out they don't love you like I do. Because if you want to stay close to God, somebody's got to tell you the truth, and the devil's slick. And history repeats itself. If you get knocked down, boy, get fixed up, get the medication, do what you do, go to the hospital, do whatever has to happen. But let me tell you, get yourself back in church. Get yourself back in there. Hey. Since history repeats itself, will you let your money or work cause you to get further away from God? The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And I've been teaching on Wednesday night, money's not the root of all evil, it's the love of. Now, work is good. But you got to remember, church is important. And I'm going to make one quick application. I want you to understand this. If you have a job, God gave it to you. Don't throw Him under the bus and never show up for church. You say, work is good. If I work all the time and never come to church, I'm doing a good thing. I'm sorry, you're not. There is a way to work and come to church. Christians have been doing it for years. I'm proud of you if you work hard. But work does not replace church. Now, I wonder, a lot of Christians in here, you ever seen somebody get so busy at work and doing well? I don't want to talk, they're not drinking. They're not getting high. They're not doing any of that. They're just busy working, but they don't have any time for God. You better remember who gave you that job. You better remember who gave you the success you're experiencing. I know a multimillionaire that's given over $35 million to the cause of Christ. And this is what he told me. One of the reasons God blessed me like I said he gave $35 million away. That's not how much he made. That's how much he gave away. And he said, I'm going to promise you, one of the reasons why God has blessed me abundantly with millions and millions and millions of dollars is I kept church first. Next. Since history repeats itself, I hate to say this because you think I'm being sympathetic to myself, and I'm not. Since history repeats itself, will you attack me? You say, what, Pastor? Has anybody ever been in a church where the pastor gets attacked? Who do they like to shoot at in America most? Let's see, they call him the president. And then in the church, the pastor is the under-shepherd or the overseer. You know, at your work, the place where you work, when others come after the place you work, they go after who? The boss. In your home, you know who is the devil's going to go after? Probably your wife, because she's probably in charge. That you're supposed to laugh there. A couple of you are cringing. And listen, I'm as an individual, as a human being, I deserve to be attacked. But I would just recommend to you that you're very careful in regard to your relationship with a pastor. Because God's always held the position, not necessarily the person, but the position in high esteem. But, let's face it, do pastors get attacked? Yes. Will history repeat itself? I wish it wouldn't, especially when I'm the target. So if you want to listen to any of these, listen to this one. Let's make sure history doesn't repeat itself. You say, why? I don't want it beat up. Hey, since history repeats itself, will you stop tithing? Or have you already? Or have you figured out a way to dilute it? Well, people do it all the time, right? They stop giving to the Lord. Let me tell you something about that real quick so you know. God looks down, He looks at the membership of the church, He calculates how much money ought to come in and how much money is not coming in. And do you understand that there is a limitation on the blessing because of the absence of the funds? You might think, well, if we're paying our bills, God doesn't need it. God doesn't think that way. God thinks if you're supposed to give it and you don't give it, there's something that is being limited because of the absence of your faithfulness. Since history repeats itself, maybe that's you. Hey, I'm almost finished, by the way. Since history repeats itself, will you turn on the old time religion? I am. I only but wish that you knew as I travel. I'll go somewhere, I'll go to a church, and I won't preach for just anybody. I preach for old time religion places. You say, why? Well, if I got to choose between the two, I want to choose with the ones that have stuck with the original stuff. I don't want to be associated with that other stuff, but I travel and I go places, and I am telling you, I'm watching people turn tail and run about the King James Bible and the local New Testament Baptist Church and things like dress. And so, hey, by the way, some of you that promised that you would dress right in our ministries, and you're not. And it doesn't matter to me if you're going down to exercise or what. There is a way to dress right and do right. Well, history repeats itself. People throw in the towel about their standards. Don't let it be you. Are you turning on the old-time religion? The old-time religion, decent gospel music, ecclesiastical separation. History repeats itself. Hey, since history repeats itself, are you the next one that will reject the Holy Spirit pinpointing your sin? Have I happened to mention something here today that fits you, but you're going to push that away? Well, history repeats itself. Don't we think that people have shunned the power of God trying to penetrate their backslidden mind? Don't you think that they pushed it away for years? And since history repeats itself, maybe you can get out the back door and not get yourself right with God again. Because history repeats itself. Hey, you know what? History could repeat itself in a positive way. Maybe you'll be the next one that wins someone to Christ. Because that has been done in history. Maybe you'll be the next one to have a personal revival and get yourself right with God. Maybe you'll be the next one that is faithful in your giving. Maybe you'll be the next one that separates from the evils of this world. Hey, if history repeats itself negatively, I guess then we have the chance of history repeating itself positively. Which one will you be?